The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another edition of Home Field Advantage. It's with Teresa Autry from Expert Realty, 294-4210, 294-4210. Give them that email address there, Teresa, in case they want to do it through the written word there.
Yeah, it's teresa.expertrealty@gmail.com.
Okay, great.
It's just like it sounds, teresa.expertrealty@gmail.com.
And Autry is A-U-T-R-E-Y, just in case you're wondering. She does fantastic work. She's been a broker in the mortgage business for 30 years. She's been doing her business as long as I've been doing my business. So you're getting two experts. We have come head to head and we're blowing the doors out with this brand new show called Home Field Advantage. And we're loving it because it's a show. I say this every single week. And someone emailed me like, stop talking about how many times you want to do this show. Just do it. I'm like, I'm doing it, man. I love this idea. I think there's so many different topics. And when you sit down and do a podcast, you're like, okay, you start writing out show ideas. And I know you've come up with like 50, I've got 50. And there's just so many different things we could talk about when it comes to the home industry. Industry into the business itself, because obviously every single month there are numbers that come out, and sometimes it's pointing in a good direction for you, sometimes it's pointing in a bad direction. The thing is this, and someone said this the other day to me, and it's true. If you need a house, you need a house. Not everybody's in a situation where they have a home and they just want to upsize or downsize just because they feel like it, or they find a house that, wow, I've wanted that house my entire life, I'm going to put a bid on it. In most cases, people are moving because it's a job, or because they do need a bigger place or a smaller place, or, you know, they have to move. And so if you have to buy a house, Teresa is the woman to do. If we're in a situation where, you know, you just house shopping just for fun, and a lot of people seem to be doing that because everyone's renting right now, that's another thing we can do as well. You got a couple of interesting phone calls though, and I love it because I'm always wanting to come up with topics, but you're going to come up with this week's topic. Tell me what happened this week.
So over the weekend and then this past week, I've had several people contact me that I've done business with for years, and each one had a unique, different situation. So I thought, let's talk about some distress, some divorces, and some deaths. Mm. And I know those are not easy subjects, but there are true professionals out here like myself that can make the process easier. You know, divorce is hard on everybody. And just here in America, generally, when you get divorced, you don't keep living in the same house together.
Yep.
You know, so one of those parties has got to have a house. Usually if you, the distress of someone's lost income, or if they've lost, they might have to have a house, but then their property becomes distressed because they don't have the money to continuously to fix it. You know, we talked about some people should be renters and some people should be homeowners. Mm-hmm. And then the last one is like, obviously, when people pass away and you've got to go through probate and get all this stuff approved and everything. And so we can guide you through those tumultuous situations. And that's what we're here to do. So when I was doing some research about this week's show, I thought, well, let's just see if Tony's okay with this, because it is, I call it the 3 D's.
Oh my gosh. Let's back it up just a little bit. Divorce is horrible. Even if you want the divorce, even if you're the person that wanted to get out of the marriage, it's just absolutely terrible. If you have children, you can multiply it by 50. I didn't want a divorce. I didn't want any part of it. And so it was just, and I'm still having problems with it. It's been 4 or 5 years. I got 3 kids. It turned out best case scenario for me. So I'm blessed and I'm super thankful that I get to see my kids, you know, at least 50% of the time. So that's a blessing, particularly in this state where it seems like the mothers get a better nod than the men do. But the weird thing about mine is the judge came back, and I, despite the fact that I had my business in my house, I had a business in the house, and I built out like a $95,000 studio in my basement. The judge said I needed to sell the house. That was part of the deal. Sell the house. She gets 60% of the equity. I get 40% of the equity, go on my merry way. And so I did everything to fight that. Now, I found myself fighting it, not so much because I had to, but because there was a lot of resentment there. And I really wanted to walk out of the marriage with something. I didn't want the marriage to be a record. I didn't want it to fall apart. And so I felt like as long as I got the house, I felt like I won, is what I'm saying. Now, in hindsight, looking back on things, I wish I had done a fourth step on it, because I could have saved myself a lot of time and a lot of money too, because ultimately I did have to sell the house, and I didn't get nearly out of it what I wanted to, because I waited to sell it when the market cooled off a little bit. So in some cases it is, I want to start with this though, because the first thing I thought of when you told me this is you're not a therapy, are you? Are you a therapist?
No.
Are you sure?
But ask me how many times do I have to be the therapist?
I can't imagine. I can't imagine because I know I was pouring my guts out. Now I had a friend that I knew. It was the wife of a friend of mine. She reached out to me, and this is before you and I became in cahoots. Certainly, I would have used your services first. This was 5-6 years ago, and I mean, I cried on her shoulder. I mean, I know I threw some things at her, so first of all, thank you to because you probably hear from both sides when you're talking about divorce or loss of family. Man, you have to be a therapist.
Well, I will say you brought up two good points, which is number one, you said you might have waited too long or done something. At some point, if the court's involved in your life and they say sell it, you're left little negotiating power. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so I've seen money in divorces have to go set in the escrow until they could work it out financially in the courts. I have seen one couple that was getting divorced, literally. It was so horrible. I go there on a listing appointment. It was in Hoover, Alabama. And the wife is screaming at me that the husband's addicted to porn and she wants the computer out of the house. And he's screaming at me that she's such a prude. He has to watch porn to help her out. I had no knowledge of this going in. And I'm very naive. And I was like, well, here's what I'm going to need y'all to do because I'm under a court order. Don't ever put me in a court order, judges. Just don't do it. It's not healthy. Because when you start to force somebody to sell the property, they come up with this resistance. They come up with excuses. They get emotionally involved. I'm not emotionally involved. You know, I hate that this has happened, but let's accept it and figure out a solution or resolution. Because 90% of the, and I actually did these numbers earlier this morning, was that Alabama's divorce rate is actually 10% higher than the national average.
Okay.
But if you look at the overall scheme of things, generally, neither party can afford the house when it's divorced. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And then so you get into, I ask my clients three things, because death, divorce, and distress are all the same. What do you want, time or money?
Yeah.
You can't buy time. And money, you never know what's going to happen, especially with the market.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, how much do you have to put into this property to get it to a retail value?
Well, and what I did, just in case people were wondering, and again, I'm looking back on it, and I wish I had sold it when the judge told me to sell it. He said I had 90 days to sell it. We got her out. She went and found a place. She rented. And because of our settlement, she had money that I had given her, a settlement. So she had money to put down on an apartment, despite the fact that she hadn't worked in 20 years because she didn't have any credit. And so I kind of did the math, and based on what my home value was, I figured she was going to get about $80,000 out of the house. And so I said, if I gift you $80,000, will you give me time to refinance the home? Because she was on the mortgage with me. She was on the title deed. I couldn't just.
And that's a very common thing.
And so, And so if she was just on the deed, I could have just set the deed over, but because she was on the mortgage itself, I have to refinance the whole thing. And again, it got really ugly. She didn't want to help me. I sure as hell didn't want to help her. So I said, you know, if I give you $80,000, are we get, and she said, yes. And so we put it in writing. So it bought me some time. Well, again, I'm self-employed. My credit was, you know, I'd just gone through a divorce. And so I just could not refinance it. I did everything I could, including calling sharks. I was calling people. I was calling people that would could buy my house and then let me rent it back, rent to own. I mean, I was trying everything I possibly could do. And ultimately, I had to let it go. And unfortunately, the house went from about $150,000 to about $100,000. I lost $50,000. So she got $80,000 and I walked away with $10,000. And then I had to go, you know, and so I had no money, and then I had to go rent. It's all worked out, and it's been a beautiful thing. But there's a reason why judges do what they do. And I know we look at it and go, he's crazy. I'm telling you, they've seen a million of these. They don't know your family. But because you couldn't figure it out, they've got to do something. And for the most part, they're usually right. And I wish I had sold when I did. That being said, though, you're going to a situation where it's difficult enough to sell or buy a home when you have a couple that's getting along. Now you've got two people that have to get rid of a property and do it. And they're going through a divorce. And normally it's pretty quick, right?
Well, you would hope. But like I had a client 2 years ago who literally, I was put in a court order by a judge to sell this house because he knew kind of my history. I never met these people. I never met either one of them. I have not been to their house. I go to their house and I was supposed to be given all access to the house, right? So they had a code punch on the door. Well, he put up a storm door with a separate key. So I can't get that. Oh, it gets better. He put plywood over the garage door so I couldn't get in that way. The fenced yard had me blocked out. So it's that petty stuff that just eats away.
Oh, my ex put a for sale sign. Hired somebody to sell the house and I was still in it. She was gone. And I'm like, you're not picking the realtor. She picked because she was moving it. She was like, we're moving this. And so she got a realtor. And every day I took that sign out of the ground and I put it, I ended up having 10 signs. Those big signs, those big ass signs, those real heavy ones. I kept putting them in the garage and then the realtor, she did. The realtor came and just put another one in every night. One night I hit it with a car. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. And again, it worked out.
And that's
okay.
What I mean is that when people are immersed in a death or divorce or distress, and I will say that the other percentage is that 30% of all divorces happen over money. The rest of it.
At what percentage?
30%.
I'm surprised it's not. I'm surprised that's not higher.
He spends more. She spends more. He don't make enough. She don't make enough. Credit's crappy, all that. I want to touch on something you said about the deed and mortgage, though, because I tell people this. Don't put them on the mortgage or the deed. If you put them on the deed and they're not on the mortgage, when you sell that, they get their part, you know? Yeah. So if they're on the mortgage, they need to be on the deed. If they're on the deed, they do not have to be on the mortgage. But just warn yourself that if you're not on the deed, then you don't get the...
Yeah, I'm not telling people to buy a home with your wife or your husband with the idea that you're going to get divorced down the road. Okay, I'm not a prenup guy, but now in hindsight, if she had been on the deed, she would have had ownership of the house. But I could have refinanced the house without her, and it would have worked out. But at the same time, you know what? I probably would have been sank because you're right. Because all of a sudden, you know, I was just making it. Paycheck by paycheck, and all of a sudden I got a $3,000 alimony payment. Well, you know, how am I going to pay for that?
Wanted, you remember living in that house. You knew the good times. It was comfortable for you. So anytime I go into a situation like that, I use what I call kitty gloves. It's like, I'm just here to do a job. Mm-hmm. I do not take sides. I'm not putting this from one person to the next. The same thing with a debt, you know. People go through deaths, and a lot of times they own the house outright. They know exactly who it's going to go to. But guess what? They live in Washington State, or they live in, you know, Aruba or wherever, and they don't want the property. They just want it sold and someone move on. So we get these deaths through probate. Also other things like when you lose your job, your first thought is when you get a job is not to fix that blind or that gutter that fell off your house. It's like survival of the fittest. So when we go through those, we want to make sure that we are obviously following every rule, because you never know if someone's going to say this to you today, but then they get angry and change their mind later.
Yeah.
It's not like you're dealing with a consumer savvy real estate investor or builder. These people are just regular people. They just buy and sell. And so with the divorce though, I just had a closing this year where the husband owned the house before the wife.
Okay.
But him and the wife marry. Her name never went on the mortgage. Her name never went on the deed. But the deed said a married man. So when we got ready to sell it, she had to sign off, because if you're married, she's got a vested interest in the property.
Yeah.
And that was tough because he kind of ended up with the short end of the stick. And it took us forever. I mean, the lady kept doing continuances after continuances. So it was like a year before we could actually get an order from the court to get her out.
Yeah.
And I always tell people, if there's not incentive to make people go, mm-hmm. then they don't usually go quietly.
No, they don't. And I will paint you a picture, and God bless anyone that had to go through what I was going through during COVID. Because COVID made it 10 times even harder. So we're going through a divorce. She thinks I'm moving out. And I'm like, I'm not moving out. And I'm like, you move out. And she's like, I'm not moving away from the kids. I'm like, well, I'm not moving out either, because if you move from the kids, you look like you're abandoning them. They can use that against you. I mean, I knew all this stuff going in. I get friends in high places and they're like, do not move out of the house. I didn't have the finances to do that. I was financing everything. I was also told to cut her off at every point I possibly could. It just so happens that she started asking for an allowance about 3 months before she told me she wanted to leave. So I had to keep giving her that, which, you know, obviously now look in hindsight, she knew exactly what she was doing. But then we were in the same home and we just had to wait. And I said, you know, and then COVID hit. And so it wasn't like we could go anywhere. So, I'm looking back on it.
And he was same level.
Yeah. She lived back in the bedroom and I lived in the rest of the house. And I said, listen, I said, we can be adults here and get along through this. And I was the nicest guy you'd ever want a door. So I'm just telling you, but I wasn't going to be taken advantage of. And so, it is. And again, it's the worst thing you could ever go through. It sucks.
Exactly. Because think about all the time it took you to find the house, to buy the house, mm-hmm. get the house set up.
And yeah. My kids really wanted. Yeah. My kids wanted the house. And that was the reason I was trying to be the hero. And, and I knew that. And I should have known my kids were going to love me regardless of any way. But I through a divorce, everything changes. And I was trying to keep as much the same as I possibly could. And I knew my kids loved that house. They had lived there their entire life. And I wanted to keep some and I even told my ex, you know, we're going to have two different places now. Our kids are going to have to navigate going back and forth. I said, that's the worst part. I feel so bad what we put them through. So I said, at the very least, let me keep the house so at least they can be in a place they're comfortable. And of course, that was somewhat of an advantage of mine as a parent, because I end up staying in the house and so I end up staying in another year, and again we sold it. I have heard a couple things, and this is I hope that if you're ever going through a divorce, and we could do a whole another podcast on divorces and it would last till the year 3000. But I've heard where couples, if it's amicable, will keep the house and then the parents go in and out of the house and the kids stay put.
It's home custodial. And it means that, like, say the 7 days that you have your child, you would be living in the, what was deemed as the miracle residence.
Yes.
Then the other 7 days she would live in. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. And then she goes back to her apartment.
Because people get petty spaghetti. They get emotional. They get very stressed. And that's why I wanted people to understand I'm a resource as a buffer zone. Just like if there's a death in the home, you're going to set probate for 9 months, 10 months. Well, if I can find I might have to sell it off market. But if it's been distressed or a death, a lot of times investors will buy them. We submit the paperwork to the court. And as soon as they approve it, we can close on and everybody moves on.
Yeah.
You know, could you imagine inheriting to a house and you live in New York and you haven't even been to it in 40 years and it's in Alabama?
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing is you always want to check titles, deeds, and mortgages, and they all need to align. You need the chain of title to line up with the mortgage to line up with the deed, and the deed to line up with the people living in the home.
Yeah. Teresa Autry with Expert Realty. She's fantastic. We do Home Field Advantage every single week. You can find it. We play the show at least 5 days a week on the TKR app. It's absolutely free. Download the TKR app through Android or Apple and listen to the show. And of course, you can also find it wherever your podcasts are. And of course, you're watching it here on the YouTube channel. I suggest you do that because you get to see our facial expressions. And obviously, Teresa's soft on the eyes. She's fun to look at too. So get after it. We only have good looking people on Tony Curry Radio.
Yes.
So check us out, our YouTube channel. Fantastic stuff. And again, her number is 294-4210, 294-4210. What is, and I was going to ask you this, and maybe you've already talked about the porn dude, but is there any other situation that comes to mind that you've had to deal with as a realtor? I mean, you should have
carte blanche.
Okay, good. Because I wanted to hear your worst situation if you're willing to live through it again, because these stories are great. We can laugh at these now, right? But give me another great story.
You're living in it.
Yeah.
You're just thinking, like, where do these people get their ideas from? Okay, so I'll give you two short ones.
Yeah.
Let me think. Okay. One was a, let's see. So let me see how. Okay. One had been divorced for 20 years. but their finances were still in the court.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Dealing with it. He was a doctor. She was a nurse, and I'm sorry, a school teacher. She, I'm not going to tell you where she worked at or him, but he was a doctor and she worked at a very prominent private school.
Okay.
Teacher. He had gotten divorced from her 20 years ago because he fell in love with someone else. She got the house, which was in Inverness by the country club, and she got maintenance and alimony as long as she never remarried. She had a boyfriend who was like a very large drunk that lived in the house. So, for instance, when they needed a new roof, husband, ex, doctor sends the money. She don't fix it. Nothing. 20 years of nothing being fixed. And literally the day before closing, he puts an $85,000 lien on the house because the judge said he could only get back the 10% that you initially invested. So it didn't matter what the house sold for. I could have sold it $400,000 or $1 million. He would have got his same number. Well, we had to get the $85,000 lien released, but he only did that because it wasn't, the house was distressed. So therefore, it didn't go for full market value. It didn't go retail. It went way under. Now, the good news is we got it closed. The couple moved in. She was an interior decorator. The house is gorgeous. It almost went up overnight to $450,000
yeah.
because they did all the work. But literally at the closing, she climbed up on the table and said, "You're not taking my fridge."
This fridge?
In there. The fridge in the basement, by the way, that had been there since 1978, who later on someone had to come in with a scraper with a hood, like a machine, and scrape this refrigerator off the old linoleum floor. I'm just saying, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But it's people, and here's the thing, it was just horrible. Now, let me tell you about another one. Now, this particular client, I feel like I need some sort of warning label here. I don't know. This is.
That's okay. Yeah. We're an adult show. We're good.
Okay. Well,
whatever you're comfortable with.
Every time this person gets a new wife, I get a big commission. So I can't be mad at. So I sell this guy the first house. He just ended up in a neighborhood with the HOA and video cameras and stuff like that. And he orders he had been at this time, he had already been married twice. Okay. I've been through five wives with this man.
Wow.
Well, wife number three, he ordered from Russia. She was a mail order bride. Except he was looking for someone younger and happened to be, she was his same age. And she would go out and nail in the yard in her lingerie every day. And the construction workers in the neighborhood thought you couldn't hear a hammer slang because they were so studying this woman. She brought the treadmill out of the garage one time, put a bikini on, and was running on the treadmill. What? Where are you from, crazy woman? Then he had the same client. He gets rid of her, so that was like wife number three, four. Then he wants his house turned into a castle. So he literally has people paint, and he's got all these swords and all these things.
Oh, you're talking a literal castle.
Yes. And so he had these cat of nine tails up there. He had wheels. He had floggers. He had all kind of stuff. And I walk in and one of the axes fell down and like came like really close to my feet. And I said, this got to go.
Oh my gosh.
This is, yeah. So it took him a while to get it all down. And then it was the funniest thing because one of my friends bought that house.
Wow.
But then after that, every time he'd get a wife, I would get a new deal.
Yeah.
And he knew two things. He said, I can't put them on the mortgage and I can't put them on the deed because if they did, he knew that they would have money. And so those are just some of the humorous things.
Wow.
But also, like I had a pastor who was supposed to be, this is another brother system, two brothers, one's a doctor, one's a pastor. The pastor was supposed to be taking care of mom and her estate here in Meadowbrook. The brother was a doctor in Auburn. And so he wasn't fully visual all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the same thing happened with his house. He kept the money. He never paid for mom's house. So when it was distress time, consider me a resource. You know, we have people that will buy these homes and just pull up a dumpster and throw all the, just take what you want and go.
Yeah.
That's what I tell my distress client, take what you want and go. And then the other thing is, I always say, do you want it fast? Do you want it quality? Or do you want money? You can only get two of those three. Mm. And a lot of times, I hate to say it like this, but a lot of times it's like ripping off a Band-Aid. Do the shortest, quickest route to net you the most amount of money that you can realistically expect to net out of this situation. That's my job. That's what I do. I have resources that come in and say, hey, let's. And the brother was embarrassed. He was like, I don't want anybody in the public to see my mother's house like this, because they've been there like 30 years.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of factors that go into retail, sell it for highest market value versus divorce, death, or distress. And I'm not saying that if you are in one of those three D's that you cannot go retail, because you absolutely can. I'm saying each situation is going to need to be evaluated. You can consider me a resource because this is what I do.
I will say this, and I think this is a great way to wrap this up. If you are going through one of those three situations, God bless you. We hope things work out, and God, we'll say a prayer for you, because it's bad. It's hard enough selling a house, especially when you don't want to sell a house. That's the most difficult thing. When you have to leave a house that you don't want to leave, that's one of the most difficult things in the world. And all of a sudden, it's like a relationship. You only remember the good things, you know. And I look back now, and I still drive by my old house, not to revere in it, but I always think, man, that house needed a lot of work. I mean, it did need a lot of work. I mean, we hadn't changed anything in 15, 20. We had three kids. We just didn't have the money to you know, put new decks and stuff like that. But it's important to pause, pray, and patience is a virtue, but try to be as understanding as possible and realize that there's two people that are at play here. And obviously it's a lot easier to buy something together when you love each other than get rid of something when you hate each other. And it takes a special, special person to do that. And you are that person. I can't stress that enough. I know you. Not every realtor is made up to go through a divorce proceeding or through a death or through some type of they're not. And it just becomes real cut and dry, because you have to be a people person. You have to be invested in that individual.
I know what I call it.
Yeah. It's cut and dry. I know it's a business, and you have a business, and you have a job to perform. I get that, but you're getting rid of something that tears at someone's heart. You know, and it's almost like getting rid of an animal. I mean,
one of the ladies here, she got a call. The lady had left her husband's ashes in the home. So the realtor that had handled it literally had to go. I mean, you think, how could she forget his ashes? Well, she was emotional. How can you expect someone in that state of mind to know everything? So literally the realtor here, Christina, she went over and got the ashes and was going to, you know, deliver them, because it's just something that people need to know that they're supported through these times, that there's nothing wrong with them. This happens a million times. You're not the first person. You won't be the last. And thank God we can walk through it with you.
And the good thing too, is you got a broker with you. And so, you know, obviously you're going to have to find a place to live. And that was the great thing, you know, at least in my position, I had someone who knew me, and I was like, okay, don't be selling my home until you find me another place or a place at least I can rent.
I had to do that before. When a market's hot, I'm like a bird in the hands, not worth 3 months of house payments.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, even if it was just a couple thousand dollars different, think about them staying in that house for 3 months. Well, if it's $2,000, that's $6,000 for 3 months versus maybe you got to offer $5,000 less than.
Yeah.
So you're coming out better in a shorter amount of time.
Been there, done that. Tell people how they can find you there, darling.
Well, I'm Teresa Autry, Expert Realty here in Hoover, and I promise I have the best job. I get to help people just re-flourish and renew and move into and end of life. That does me an honor to be part of these things with people. These are major. This is not going to the Walmart picking up something off a shelf. You know, this is like serious. And I was nervous about the show today because I was like, well, I don't want to be Debbie Downer. But no, I wanted people to realize that there are multiple reasons why people go through selling a home. And I don't want agents or the public to think that they're isolated, or maybe that they're the only ones.
There you go. 294-4210, 294-4210, Teresa Autry from Expert Realty. You're the best. Looking forward to talking with you next week. And of course, we always take emails, info@tonycurryradio.net. We'll take your questions on anything. And of course, we've just grazed the iceberg of content and what this is all about. And by the way, and I hope we're in business together forever, because I'm going to be here, and I know you are too. But this is going to be like great reality TV, because you're going to actually see my process of going through a rental. I'm going to then get rid of the rental. Then I'm going to be looking for a home. We're going to be talking about the homes I'm actually looking for. Hopefully that'll hit some nerves with some people. And then I'll go through the entire buying process with Teresa Autry as my broker. So I'm really looking forward to that. And it'll be a couple of years. It'll be a couple of years, but you know what? A couple of years will be here before you know it. I got news for you. It's going to be quick. Thank you, baby doll. I appreciate you.
Have a good day.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.